I want to share a message today on just simply the blessing of Abraham. Anybody ever heard of that? The blessing of Abraham. It's sort of a mysterious message because, I mean, I heard it years ago and I never really studied it very much. I thought, well, it's a nice thing, the blessing of Abraham. That's good. Okay, let's go on. But then I've heard some teaching on it. And I said, wow, there's more to this than I thought. Are we walking in the blessing of Abraham? That's another question we ought to ask ourselves. And so what is the blessing of Abraham? I'll just give you a little bit of information before we get into the message. You remember that God spoke blessings over Abram. And we're going to look at that scripture in Genesis 12 in a few minutes where God said, I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. I'll make you a great nation. He told Abraham, I bless you if you'll do what I tell you to do. And you might say, well, isn't that Old Covenant, Old Testament? We're going to find out it's very New Testament. Very, very New Testament. You remember we talked about that last week, how the New Testament reveals the Old Testament. The Old Testament is actually the Bible. Amen. I mean, when Christianity came in, they didn't have a New Testament. They didn't realize they were writing the New Testament. As they unveiled the Old Testament, it was becoming the New Testament. And so the blessing of Abraham is very much New Testament. So, what does it have to do with you and me? Well, it has a lot to do with us, as we'll find out. And so, why should we study it? Well, you know, I never heard it to be that much of a big deal. Why should we bother studying it? Well, because it requires faith. We'll see the first scripture we look at says it requires faith to lay hold of it. And there's a scripture in Romans 10 that says, how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? But how can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? There's a principle there. You cannot believe in something you've never heard of. You don't know what you don't know. You can't believe in what you don't know. And so since it requires faith, we have to know it. We have to know about it and understanding. So that's the purpose of studying. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is trying to talk the Galatians out of going back to keeping the law of Moses. They've decided, we got a great thing here, the Christians, we're a Christian church, but we really believe we ought to go back and keep the law of Moses. We ought to go back and do the commandments and all that. Paul said, whoa, wait a minute, that's not right. You don't have to do that. In fact, you don't want to do that. And he'll explain why. And he says in verse 5, he that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Who is that? Me, you, all of us here are of faith. We are the children of Abraham. So that's the first revelation we need to get there. And I'm of faith. I'm a child of Abraham. So is the blessing of Abraham for me? The blessings were to Abraham and his seed. We're getting to that again. We're going to talk some more about that. In verse 8 it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's us, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. In you, Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel. He just said it. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Is that you and me?
Yes.
We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Okay, that's a good verse. So that's us. Say this, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. See, this may be a new concept to some people, that I'm blessed with him. The blessing that was on him is on me. Galatians 3, verse 10 through 14. Okay, let's look at that. Anyway, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, For it's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. He's trying to talk them out of trying to keep this law of Moses. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For it's written, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. That's what created the curse of the law. If you couldn't keep the whole law, then you were under a curse. And so that may be a foreign idea to us too. But we want to move to verse 13. That's where I wanted to get to. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the rest of us. That we might receive the promise through faith. So how then do we receive this promise, this blessing?
By faith.
Through faith. And what does that tell me? See, we use the word faith, some of these words so much that we lose track of what it really means. Faith, what does faith mean? You believe something. You receive this by believing it. And if you've never studied it, how could you possibly believe it? So it's received by faith. How can they believe in what they haven't heard? Now in verse 16, here's another New Testament revelation. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, or he didn't say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The promises were made to how many seeds?
One.
Okay, good. Somebody's getting that. That's good. Not many seeds, but one seed. And who was that seed?
Christ.
So in these scriptures, in these verses, we'll hear the word promises. We'll hear the word oath. We're going to look at the word oath. God made promises to Abraham and to his seed, but he also swore an oath, and we're going to look at both of those. And so there's a lot in this verse, this chapter here, but I'd like to read it. I may come back and touch on one or two things. But I want to jump down to verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. See, there's no difference between Jews and non-Jews anymore. There used to be a big difference in the old covenant. But God has made a new covenant in which there's no difference between Jew or Greek, between bond or free, even male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and if you be Christ, or if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you be Christ or belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. I am in Christ. Say this, I am in Christ.
I am
Abraham's
seed.
See, we found that three times already in this chapter that we're the seed of Abraham. We are the seed because we are in Christ who is the seed. But what about all those others? Hey, I didn't write the Bible. He says there's one seed. See, all the world is supposed to come into the one seed. Whether you're Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter. We'll find out as we go on that the law of Moses was established because of transgressions of Abraham's descendants. And it was a schoolmaster set up to keep people in line until the seed could come. When the seed came, that was going to be done away with, and everybody was going to enter into the seed, Christ Jesus. Okay, stay with me, folks. I know this is kind of stuff that maybe is a little on the deeper side, you know, something that we don't really look at that often, but chew on it a little bit, think about it. If you don't understand it, just let it get in there, see what happens. So, we are heirs, it said, heirs according to the promise. Okay, what promise? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you work for an inheritance?
No.
If you're an heir of something, do you work for an inheritance?
No.
You don't work for it, no. An inheritance, it comes down because you're a child. You know, in Romans 8, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So there's some kind of inheritance here we're talking about because we're children. Children of God, children of Abraham. Whatever Jesus, the seed, inherited, we share with Him as joint heirs. But what if you have an inheritance and you don't know about it? What if somebody left you $10 million and you never find out about it? Will that help you much? You won't get any of it. So you got to know about it. So I'm talking about our inheritance, which is the blessing of Abraham. Now, what is the promise he's talking about? If we're heirs of a promise, what is it? Now, I'm just putting out some things to lay a foundation. What is the promise he's talking about? Well, Romans. Let's move to the book of Romans. Romans 4:13. It says, "For the promise that he, Abraham, should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." The promise, in a nutshell, is that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. He just said it right there. I didn't make it up. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. See, it was both Abraham and his seed. Through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So there is an inheritance, and in a nutshell, he says that Abraham and his seed will inherit the world. Now, does that mean I'm going to personally inherit the world? No, but I'll inherit my share. You see, God has a place for all of us. We talk about possessing the land. See, God has a land for each individual that He determined before we were ever born. And so there is a place in God that we have, and we may not have come into it yet. But that's what the blessing of Abraham is about. In fact, I call this message, the blessing of Abraham, a divine adventure. A divine adventure, the blessing of Abraham. And you'll see why I call it that in a minute. Okay, let's go back to Genesis. Abraham was with a family who left Ur of the Chaldees and went to a place named Haran. Actually, they named that place Haran after Abraham's brother who died. And they kind of got stuck there, and then his father died and so forth. It says in chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." See, he preached the gospel to Abraham long before the gospel came along. And so he said, "Separate yourself to me, Abram. Get out of your country and away from your kindred." In other words, leave your familiar backgrounds and follow me. And I'm going to take you to a place. Oh, I'm not going to tell you yet where it is, but I'll show you when you get. You'll know when you get there. And so God asked him to just pull up stakes and just take off, and I'll show you where you're going once you get out there. Can you imagine? "What are you doing, Abraham?" "Well, I'm packing." "Where are you going?" "I don't know. Not sure. God told me to leave, and he would show me a place." "God told you that? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's one thing to talk to God, but it's another thing when he talks back." Oh, we've heard that one, haven't we? There's something wrong with that person if God talks back to them. So leave your familiar surroundings and follow me into the unknown. That's why I call it the divine adventure. Amen. He heard God say, "Come on, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to do some wonderful things. Now just take off. I'll show you when you get there. You'll know it." Praise God. And so that's the divine adventure. Leave it all and follow me, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. What does it mean for God to bless us? That's another one of those words that really has a vague meaning. I don't know what that means. It means to empower to prosper. And it means for Him to work in our behalf, to give us special assistance. You've heard people say, you know, so you walk up to somebody, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Praise God. Oh, you're one of those, huh? Okay. Well, you know, the thing is, the truth is, if you're blessed of God, then you are highly favored. You are favored more than other people. Because God is showing His favor in your behalf, in your life, and things happen for you that don't happen for other people because you're blessed.
Amen.
Does God like some people more than others? Is He a respecter of persons?
No.
No, He's not. But He does give special blessing to those who hear and obey.
Amen.
We'll see that over in Deuteronomy, that He makes a distinction between those who hear Him and follow Him and those who go the other direction. He loves them all. He wants all. He said, I place before you life and blessing, death and cursing. Choose life. Please choose life. That's what I want to give you. And I think the more we follow God, the more we come into what He has for us. I mean, we may not have arrived there yet. I don't know, you know, what God has for my life. I know where I'm at now is not what I planned. Where I am now in life, I never foresaw that coming. It's just God led me here, led me there, did this, did that. Here I am today in a place I never thought I'd be. So praise God. But I believe there's much, much more out there.
Amen.
I see, what else did He say to him? You'll be a blessing. That is a source of blessing. That's what you'll be a blessing means. You yourself will be a source of blessing. Not only will you be blessed, but you'll be a source of blessing. And in your seed shall all nations be blessed. You're not only going to be blessed, but you're going to bless everybody else that comes around you. That's the blessing of Abraham. Part of the blessing is to be a blessing. You know, it's hard to be a blessing if you're not blessed. Did you know that? If you're not blessed but cursed, it's hard to be a blessing. You can't give what you hadn't got. If you're not blessed, it's hard to bless others. Now, this is a good one. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. In other words, I'll bless those who help you, Abraham, or Abram at this point. I'll stand against those who stand against you. In other words, I'll curse those who curse you. So that talks about divine protection from enemies. And we'll see this in many other places in the Scripture. Doesn't the New Testament say, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's talking about if God is for us, we don't have to worry about enemies. Does that mean enemies will never rise against you? No, it doesn't mean that. I've had them rise against me. But God always took care of it. And we're going to talk some more about that part of the promise. So at this time, Abram was 75 years old in Genesis 12 when God spoke this to him. And I want to make one point from Genesis chapter 17. And you don't have to go there. I'm just going to speak it because I don't want to get us bogged down too much in theology. In Genesis 17, God came to Abraham, or actually came to Abram. He said, you're going to change your name to Abraham. And your wife is that's father of many nations. Your wife's name you're going to change to Sarah, which means mother of nations, because next year at this time you're going to have a baby with your wife, Sarah. And it said that Abraham fell on his face and laughed. But then he came out of it and he began to listen to what God was saying. So he went on to make a covenant. This is where God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I want you to be circumcised and all the men of your household. And the Bible says that he had this faith that God accounted as righteous before he was circumcised. But the circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God established with Abraham. Okay, I want to say that because, see, when he came down 400 years later to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and into the wilderness, that the covenant was already in place. It was the covenant of Abraham, and they were the descendants of Abraham, so they were under that covenant. God didn't have to establish a new covenant. It was already there. And the reason I'm saying all that is because we're going to look at Deuteronomy 28 at the blessing of the law. We talked earlier about how the law came in as a schoolmaster to keep people straight and in line and in relationship with God until the seed, Christ, could come. And then everybody would enter into that seed through faith. Well, they had the law of Moses and it had a blessing with it. And the reason I just said all that big big line right there was to say that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of the law is the blessing of Abraham. The covenant was already established and the blessing was already established. When it came down to the law of Moses, the blessing of the law was the blessing of Abraham, an extension of that blessing. Now, why is that important? I know to say all that stuff, but why is it important? Because we have to understand what the blessing means in our lives. If we don't understand what it is, then how can we believe for it? So, we'll come back to Abraham one more time before we finish this message. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28, which outlines the blessing of the law, the blessing of the law of Moses, which is an extension of the blessing of Abraham. See, he didn't bless them on their own. They came under the blessing of Abraham, which was already established. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessing of the law. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Oh, that's got so much in it right there. First of all, he's talking about if you'll hear me and do what I tell you to do. See, that's the first part we got to understand. To walk in this blessing, we got to hear God and be obedient to him. That's when the blessing comes on us. That's how it worked in Abraham's life. But the second thing here that's very interesting is the Lord will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And you know, if you look at the history of Israel, you'll find that during the time of Solomon, the time of David, especially in Solomon's time, that Israel was lifted up to a very high place among the nations. So the Queen of Sheba came and she was just overwhelmed by what was going on with Solomon and his kingdom. It was just absolutely amazing. And so we know that God raised the nation of Israel above all the nations of the earth, at least during that period of time. But there's another nation that God has raised above all the nations of the earth. Do you know which one that is? The United States of America. And I just thought about that as I was meditating in that a couple of weeks ago, that we in the United States have been, by the blessing of God, set high above all nations in prosperity, wealth, and many, many things. Now, you have to ask the question, does that mean that all citizens of the United States are godly people serving God? It doesn't mean that at all. We know that that's not true. Many people are atheists living in the greatest country in the world. But I believe it's because our founding documents are based on scriptural principles, godly principles that allow people to be free to worship God the way they want to or to be an atheist. See, men have free will. You can't make everybody. That's one of the things they ran from was the state religion. The state saying, this is the religion that you're going to have. They didn't want that. They wanted the exercise of the freedom to exercise their religion or their lack thereof. And so God has blessed that. It's not because every person's a godly person, but God has blessed what has been created in this nation for 243 years now. So that's something you might want to think about on Independence Day, how God has done that. We're an unusual nation. There's godly principles have lifted this nation up. So let's go on to verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you'll do what? If you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord. You got to hear his voice before you can hearken to it. In other words, you must be able to hear his voice or you cannot hearken to it. I mean, you can hearken to his word. That's a written thing. But there's also that other part of it where he just speaks to our hearts. So he says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. The blessings come from hearing and obeying God, and they come upon us and overtake us. That's the second thing I wanted to point out. These blessings will come upon you and overtake you. We don't have to seek the blessing of Abraham. We just believe it, study it, expect it, and it comes on us and overtakes us. Now, I've been studying this message for a couple of months now, and just here and there, finding what I could on the subject. And I've noticed some things happening, since then, that didn't seem to happen too much before. One thing was my mom called me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she said, "I need some help with my bills. I need you to set up some online things to where my bills will pay automatically out of my checking account and so forth." And I said, "Okay, I'll help you. No problem. Be glad to help you out with that. Just 3 or 4 things." And so I started over to the house one morning. I think it was on a Wednesday morning. And I stopped at the People's Store over there in Ridgeway, the little People's Store. Right below Drew Mason School. And I went in. I said, "I'm going to get a cup of coffee before we do this." And so I went in, grabbed a cup, fixed the coffee, brought it in, set it down, and waited in line for a couple of customers. And I got up there, and a girl said, "Ah, go on." I said, "Well, praise God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in and going out. Hallelujah." So I went up to my mom's, and she had all her stuff laid out on the table there, you know, and just all ready for me to look at and get what I needed and whatnot. And she pulled out a piece of paper and said, "Here, take this." And I looked at it. It was a check from an insurance company for $42. I said, "Mama, you don't have to pay me anything for helping with this. It's not that big a deal. Oh, go ahead and take it. I got that in the mail from the insurance company. I don't need it." I said, "Okay." I took the $42 stuff. "Stick that in your pocket." "Okay." So now I got 2 blessings. All right. I just got a cup of coffee and $42. Well, a young boy named Hoyt, who helps Mama do things over there, he came walking in a few minutes later, and he had been down to the People's Store, gotten some sandwiches. He had gotten her this big sausage and egg sandwich, a little like a Whopper sandwich, you know, huge. She said, "Well, you want some breakfast?" I said, "Well, I was going to wait till about mid-afternoon to eat, but I'm not going to turn it down." So she cut it in half, gave me half that sandwich. It was huge. I said, "Okay, well, praise God. There's 3 blessings right there. Thank you, Lord. I'm blessed. Hallelujah." And so we worked with her bills and stuff, pulled out what we needed and worked with it. I got it all together and ready to go. So Edith, her sister, came walking in. And she said, she had been working, having her car worked on. A mirror had gotten knocked off or something. And so she had come from there, and she had a bag full of sausage biscuits. She said, "I brought some breakfast." "Well, we've had breakfast. Ronnie, you want one?" "Well," I said, "I don't usually eat sausage biscuits, but I'll take one with me." So that was for eating later on during the day. So there's 4 blessings. So I'm thinking, "Lord Jesus, there's something going on here. Just blessed everywhere I go." In other words, it says the blessing will come on you and overtake you. I didn't have to go looking for that stuff. It just came to me. And we were in here one morning rehearsing. And we got to talking about somebody I took a picture of in our little photo shoot last August, and how they didn't like their picture because they thought it made them look fat, when in fact they were skinny. But and Kenny, who he is, says, "Hey, somebody gave me a digital camera, a digital DSL camera, 14 megapixel. Do you have any need for that?" I said, "Well, I do take a lot of pictures. I could probably use it." "Well, I'll bring it to you." Or he had it with him or something. I think he went home and got it. So there had a digital camera now that just came into my hands. I told Kenny, I said, there's not a stingy bone in your body, brother." He said, "Well, I know it." I said, "That's probably why you're so blessed." And they're an example of the blessing of the Lord right there, I can tell you. Amen. Fruitful in the, what is it, blessed in the fruit of your body. That's happening.
Amen.
And, well, we'll get into that in a few minutes, but they're a blessed family. Kenny's a good guy, and he's always shared everything he had with everybody. But I said, "Well, maybe that's why you're so blessed." He said, "I don't know, maybe." But there I had that camera now. So a few days later, I'm just going along minding my own business, and I forgot to check the mail one afternoon. So I was leaving that morning. I checked the mail, and I looked up. That looks like a check from the United States Treasury. So I opened it up. Opened it so fast it tore the corner off the check. I'm glad I was able to stick it back together with a piece of tape. And cash, it was $822. Because I had a refund I was supposed to have in 2017, and they sent me back a thing, and I was confused as to whether they credited it to my... I told them I didn't want a refund. I wanted to apply it next year. Well, I got a letter back. Said, it didn't seem like they understood what I wanted to do, so I didn't take that into account when I file my taxes next year, and I paid $330 this past year. And so It just came along. Suddenly they sent that $822 that I had transferred to the next year. Suddenly there's that check. $822. Woohoo! That'll make you happy. But anyway, all this time, these things are chasing me down. And I said, it must be because of this believing that I'm walking in the blessing of Abraham. So anyway, the point is you don't have to chase the blessing down. It chases you down. As you expect it, it comes upon you. As we believe it. We receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's not until you're believing it that you start receiving it. That's all I'm saying. It may be there the whole time and you never really pay much attention to it. I've heard about that teaching about the blessing of Abraham, but I've never really looked into it. Well, see, it comes by believing. It's hard to believe in something you hadn't looked into. That's all I'm saying about that's all I'm gonna say about that. Okay, now in verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Now, blessed in the city, that's the place of commerce. It's where we buy and sell, and it's where we market what we do. It may be your job. That's where I market what I'm able to do. Somebody pays me for what I'm able to do, what I can produce, or whatever we have to offer. That's our job, where we market what we have to do. Blessed in the field. The field is where we produce what we offer. I'm not a farmer. How can I be blessed in the field? I'm not a farmer. Well, you're in some field. Did you ever think about that? Every one of us is in some kind of a field. Vincent's in a psalmist field. Different ones. Liz is in the restaurant field. All of you, I could name what field you're in. You may even be in the retired field, but you're still in the field somewhere. Your occupation is your field. You may be in the realtor field, like Birgit. You know, there's different fields. But it says, I'll bless you in the field. Whatever field you're in, I'll bless you. See, he wants us to have great success in whatever we do. Now, I was talking to Kenny. Here's Kenny again, you know. You're getting some attention from the Lord today, brother. He's bringing you. No, that's just the way it is. He works in a sawmill, you know, but he's blessed. He's blessed. We talked about it the other day, you know, how blessed he is in that job he has. And he does a great job as an employee. Well, you know, I told him he may end up owning the place. I mean, look at what God did with Joseph because of the blessing of the Lord that was on his life. He was an uneducated man. He had no education, no college degrees. He became a slave. 17 years old, he became a slave, and he was also his father's pet. So he had never done anything around the house much. All the brothers went out and did the work. And he became a slave, and then he became a prisoner, and then the ruler of a nation. You see, everywhere he went, he ended up being the guy running things in Potiphar's household, in the prison, and then he came out and became the ruler of a nation. Didn't even have a college education. Do you think maybe I can be made something? I have a little education, not much, but God evidently doesn't need it if he has a gifting in your life and an ability. Praise God. Let's look at verse 4. You'll be blessed. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. So we're talking about the fruit of the body. That's children. That's another blessing we were talking about there with Kenny and Elizabeth. They're blessed in that area. The fruit of your ground, what you produce, whatever you do and offer to the world, that's the fruit of your ground. Your cattle and your sheep, that's your substance. And Kenny was talking about accumulating substance. We're still going to give after we accumulate it. Cattle and sheep, your substance, what you have. Now, the word kine is referring to a type of animal that's mainly an oxen or a work animal. A work animal. You'll be strong. You'll be fruitful in your kine. Your strong work animals. Now, whatever you need to be successful in your business, you may not need an oxen, but you might need a tractor. You might need some other kind of equipment. It might be machinery, whatever you need to succeed. God will make sure you have it. With me, it might be cameras or computers or software or guitars or amplifiers or recording equipment. Whatever your need is to be successful in what you do, God will make sure you have that. With this blessing, the increase of your kind. Verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. And that basically is talking about your food. The basket and store talks about your kneading trough to make bread with. It's talking about being blessed in food and no shortage of food. I like this one in verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Blessed coming and going. You going home? Yeah, I'm blessed. You coming out? Yeah, I'm blessed. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm blessed at home. I'm blessed going out. You know, I don't know. People may not like hearing people say stuff like that. I'm blessed. I'm just confessing what the Word says. I am laying claim to that and believing it. If I believe it, I'll say it. I don't go around bragging to people. But yet, you got to believe. It's nothing wrong with saying I'm blessed. Now, I like this one, this next one, verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You remember God told Abraham or Abram, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. Amen. Well, he says right here, enemies who rise up against you will be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you united and they'll leave in total confusion. Well, what is that? What's the big deal? The big deal is we can do what we want to do in life and we don't have to be afraid of enemies stopping us. God is going to make sure that we're not stopped. Doesn't mean enemies won't rise up against us. Amen. I've had some serious enemies rise up against me, and I've seen God stop them in their tracks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Lord. Glory to God. Cause your enemies... Yeah, here we go. In verse 8. Now, it seems like he's starting to repeat himself, but I like that. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, okay? All you set your hand unto. Now, that's not the place where he repeats himself. This is the first time we've heard this. God will bless you in all you set your hand unto, and he'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God giveth. What is that land? It's the place He has for you in your life. He created you to do something. And when you get into that place, you're in the land that He prepared for you. And He'll bless all that you set your hand unto. Everything you set your hand to will be blessed. He'll command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, at your barns. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Praise God. See, this whole blessing of God goes throughout the Scripture. You know, He blessed Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. He told that to Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. We'll see that He said the exact same thing to us in a minute. We're going to see that He said the exact same thing to us, the seed of Abraham. All right, in verse 11... Let's see, going down here, see what a God. This is where it seems like he starts to repeat himself a little bit. I mean, if you want to emphasize something, you repeat it over and over. Well, I heard it the first time. Yeah, but it sounds good anyway. Say it again. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. Okay, he already said that. And the fruit of your body, he already said that. The fruit of your cattle, he already said that. And the fruit of your ground, he already said that. In the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open up to you His good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land in His season, and to bless all the work of your hand. There, bless all I set my hand unto. Okay, he's repeating that again. You shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Okay, we're getting into a little bit of a rough spot there. Lend to many nations, you will not borrow. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. Okay, so we get over into the area of borrowing. You'll be the head, not the tail, above only. And, you know, there's several views on borrowing. You know, there's not only one view. Some people are very, very saying, well, don't ever borrow money. And then some other good people that I respect in the ministry in Christianity say, well, if, you know, handle credit wisely. You know, do it wisely. If you can't handle credit, don't do it. You know, you'll be in a mess. And so there are different views. You know, there's some who say, don't ever borrow money. Owe no man but to love him, but to love one another. Others say use credit wisely. But the Bible does say that the borrower is servant to the lender. So it's an easy way to put yourself into bondage, becoming the servant of some other person. So it's hard to make a hard and fast rule. You know, you have to just pray about it. But God wants us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That's the blessing, and it's impossible to be the head if you're loaded down with debt. Now, that's just, you know, that's just a fact. So keep that in mind, and I'm not going to preach to you that you got to never borrow money. But it would be good if you didn't. Okay, the oath. Now, we want to close here with this. I want to just talk about one more thing, and it's only going to take 45 minutes. No, I'm joking with you. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. This is something I've never seen before. Now, like I say, you guys may already know all this, but... And it is a little bit deep. I'll tell you, this is some deep stuff right here. It's not to your run-of-the-mill stuff. But anyway, in chapter 22, you remember the story. Let me see if I got kind of an outline here. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves, and take him to the land of Moriah, to a place that I'll show you, and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice. That was Abraham's instruction. And it said that Abraham left early the next morning and traveled for 3 days. He didn't hesitate. And you'll see that he's not whining and crying anywhere along the way. He doesn't seem to be the least bit worried about things. And it says he saw the place afar off. He came to the place and he saw it. And you know, I had a thought about this. Could this possibly be Mount Calvary in the land of Canaan? I can't find exactly where it was, but I've just wondered many times, is this Mount Calvary? But anyway, it was in the land of Moriah. And it says in verse 5, it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship."
That's right.
"And come again to you."
That's right.
"We're coming back to you."
Exactly.
"One way or another, we're coming back." And so, you know, Hebrews 11 says that by faith, Abraham offered up his only begotten son.
Yeah.
It didn't say he almost did it. He said by faith he did it. And it also tells us that Abraham, by faith, received Isaac raised up from the dead.
That's right.
In a figure.
That's right.
So he wasn't worried one bit about the situation. Because God had already said,
"That's right.
In Isaac shall your seed be called."
That's
right. So, if he's thinking, if I go out there, if I kill him and burn him, well, if God stops me, that's good. Praise God, everything's fine. If I go ahead and sacrifice him and burn him on the altar, God's going to have to raise him up out of the ashes.
That's right.
Or be a liar, or one or the other. Because he had already promised him that in Isaac shall your seed be called.
Exactly.
So Abraham said, "Just wait here, we're going to come back."
That's right.
And so, in verse 10, let's see if we can go to that one, 22 verse 10. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, I'm here. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son." Now, notice this. Did Abraham bring an offering to the altar?
Yeah.
When he came up the mountain? He did. And what was that offering? his son Isaac. Did Abraham bring a ram?
No.
Who brought the ram?
God.
God brought the ram. This is going to be good. And he was about to swear an oath, and that's what we're going to look at right here in a minute, the oath that God swore. Now, what is a blood oath? You know, an oath sworn in blood.
Life and death.
Exactly. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'd go borrow money from that place, but they want you to sign the contract in blood? What does that mean?
You don't pay it, you're dead.
Exactly. That's exactly what it means. So when you make a contract or an oath in blood, that means I'm swearing the blood of my life on this. An oath is bigger than a promise. You know, you can say to somebody, do you promise to do this and that? Oh, yeah. Do you swear? Yeah, I swear. See, that's higher than a promise. Do you swear? Do you swear on your life that you'll do it? Do you swear on a stack of Bibles? See, in other words, it's bigger than a promise. God had made lots of promises to Abraham during the course of these years, but he had never sworn an oath. You're swearing by your own life. Let me see. Yeah, okay. That's good. Let's go to verse 15, and we'll see what the oath was. 22:15. After Abraham had offered up the ram, it says in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Oh, there's the enemy thing again. And in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God said, by myself have I sworn. And we're going to look at another scripture. I think we're going to look at it where it says, because he could, you know, there was no greater to swear by. He swore by himself. God is swearing an oath to a man, a blood oath, in the blood of a ram. God is swearing to an almighty God is swearing to a man. And it would ultimately be the offering up of God's own son that would bring this blessing to pass. Christ would be made a curse for us at Calvary, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What blessing, what promise? That Abraham's seed, and what he just said right here, I'm bringing it down to a nutshell. I give you an oath that Abraham's seed would be fruitful and multiply, and that Abraham's seed would possess the gate of his enemies, and that Abraham's seed would bless all nations of the earth. That was the oath that God just swore to Abraham. So why did God swear an oath on top of the promises to Abraham? Was it because Abraham needed an oath to know that God was really going to do this? It wasn't for Abraham's sake. It was for our sake. And I'll show you that in the Bible here in a minute. Well, let's just go to Hebrews chapter 6. This is the last part we're going to look at, because I want to tie this together and show you how this hooks up with us. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. I'm on the wrong chapter. There it is. Okay, here we go. Now, just bear with me. This is going somewhere. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Some people think Paul is the writer of Hebrews, but it doesn't really say. Whoever the writer is saying, okay, folks, let's leave the first principles of the doctrines of Christ, which we've learned. This is the foundational teachings on Christianity. He just lists them out there: resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands. These are all things we need to know. But now he's saying, I want you to go on to another place. I want you to go on more now to maturity. Now that you've got these principles of Christianity under your belt. And so he goes on to say, it tells here what that next level is as we get toward the end of the chapter. But he talks about what happens in the meantime to a person who becomes saved and then slides back and becomes enlightened and turns away from the heavenly calling. And you read that as on down through there. And he says, but we're persuaded better things of you. We know this is not you we're talking about right here. But in verse 11, it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope and to the end, that you be not slothful, like these people who gave up the heavenly calling, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so that was what he was talking about right there. This is the thing we're going on to, being followers of those who inherit the promises. Now that we know the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, so we're back to the promises now. He's talking about the promises. And now he begins to connect that with the blessing of Abraham and the oath in verse 13 through 15. And here we're going back to that place where God swore an oath to Abraham. And he said, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. In other words, through faith and patience, Abraham obtained the promise. And verse 17, well, let's read verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all strife. Wherein God, that's why God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That's what I'm saying is when God swore an oath to Abraham, he was swearing it to us. Listen to it again. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or unchangeableness of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, so that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So when God swore to Abraham, he was swearing to us. And what was he swearing? I hope I get all this right. What is the blessing? What is the promise of the Spirit to the seed of Abraham? You and me. What is the promise? And here it is. He just spoke it to Abraham. That we are to be fruitful and multiply. He said, remember, he said, I'll multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand by the seashore. We're to be fruitful and multiply. The same blessing he blessed Adam with, the same blessing he blessed Noah with. We are to be blessed in all that we do, and no enemy can stop us. He said, they shall possess the gate of their enemies. Your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. No enemy can block the way. And see, that's why I call this the divine adventure. Because God wants us to launch out into something he has for us. And he wants to understand that he's going to bless everything we do, bless the work of our hands. He's going to bless us in all he tells us to do. And no enemy can stop us. What would you do if you knew that anything you did would be blessed and nobody could stop you? Oh, we got to get ourselves to the place that we believe that we believe this blessing. It's getting to the place where his word is in us. It's getting to the place where we hear his voice and obey his call for our lives. It's where we rise up and follow him, not knowing where we're going. I mean, that's not easy to do, but that's what he calls us to do. But trusting in his promise to bless, wherever he takes us, we know we're going to be blessed. Amen. Maybe he wants to take you to, you know, what's that place over there? Siberia, to minister the gospel. Okay, Lord. Pastor John was talking about that. I told somebody one time, just jokingly. I said, you know, I believe if a door opened, he'd go to Siberia and preach. I was joking around because he'd been to so many places. I said, I believe if a door opened, he'd go to Siberia. Next thing you know, somebody comes along from Siberia says they want him to come over there. I thought it was funny because he loves to go to the ministry field. I bless him in it in Jesus' name. It's just got such a zeal for it. Trusting in Him to bless us. It's where we lose our life and find our life in Him. See, we may not have got there yet. There may be another thing God has for us. Another thing. And how long we got to do it? You know? I'm beginning to believe we may have longer than we think. If you start believing the right way. Because the Bible says that the days of man shall be 120 years. That means I'm still a young fella. Praise God. And you start thinking better. You start being physically stronger when you start thinking like that. Because, see, we're taught to, you're 60 years old now, you better lay back in the chair, in the recliner, until you fade out into oblivion. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But our society teaches us that's the way it is. But, you know, if you're standing up saying, well, praise God, God said the days of man are 120 years. That's at least how long I'm going to live. You know, is that possible? I know people who are doing it. Anyway, praise God. So, it's following the footsteps of our father Abraham. And it's the divine adventure He has for each and every one of us. Amen. Does this excite anybody besides me?
Yes.
Let's give the Lord a praise offering, could we? Amen. Amen.